Well, good morning. Great to be here. Thank you for having me. And Pastor Rick and Naomi asked me to fill in. I sent Les to the top end of Australia because that's where he belongs. So anyway, just a little bit about what we do and who you're supporting. So basically, my pastor Norm built six churches in the top end. He got asked to basically go up, and he started a revival in the top end of Australia, and a lot of Indigenous people got healed, miraculously got filled with the Holy Spirit, and we had a revival. And during that time, Pastor Norm built six buildings and facilitated pastors and leaders. And that was one of the Westbrooks family, because we know the Westbrooks quite well, that did a lot of Indigenous work. And I'm just thinking of a pastor who just passed away. We just did their funeral on Friday. Frank Farr was also a part of some of that, but also he did Papua New Guinea as well. So basically, Max Wilshire also had a lot of work up there where the buildings were actually housed and kept under his leadership and authority. And Max left the movement in 2004. I was working for the national movement, looking after missions for Pastor Brian Houston and Jack Haynes. Long story short, the Nationally asked me to get back involved because Australia needs churches in our outback. And we've lost our way. So I've been spending the last 12 months to 18 months working very hard behind the scenes, reinventing how we do church planting in the outback. So we've got about 14 churches right now. Les is my director, I'm the chairman, and we've got 14 churches and right across the top end of Australia, one in Blacktown, right through around the coastal, right through the centre, basically everywhere. So I've been working pretty hard also with YWAM Perth, doing a translation called the, it's a translation of the Creole language, which is used in the Kimberleys. There's another language that's used in the Arnhem Land. There's another language that's used in many different places. There's 600 languages, by the way, of Aboriginal culture. So I've been doing it for about 20 years, and I still feel like I know nothing. So I can walk into a small community and feel like I'm starting again. So some of the communities I've been into haven't had white people in for a very long time. So I've been into some communities. The only reason I've been able to get into those communities, because we're not there to try and, we're there to serve the people, but also we work through the school system, because every community's got a school, primary school, and so we sometimes go in through that avenue. So I get to meet a lot of elders and leaders, and in these communities where I've been to, very remote, some places you can't even drive to, you've got to walk. Planes don't even land there. There might be a small aviation through aid and stuff like that that might drop you off if you're kind to the pilot. And we end up in these remote communities. So my role is to rewrite how we do church planting. So the way we used to do it is we've got three or four major centres. We have one in Kununurra. We have one in Newlamboy. We have one in Fitzroy Crossing, Halls Creek. And we send people there to get trained, and then they go into communities. The way we used to do it is we got all these buses and bus everybody in from all the remote communities. So the pastor or our mission or our field worker would spend half his life driving a bus, going into the remote communities and driving them to an epicenter. And then after about 20 years, we're seeing a lot of fruit. But what they're seeing now is we've trained up our Indigenous people that the white person will feed you, clothe you, and teach you how to do church. But we haven't trained them up. And so we're dismantling the whole process. I'm not saying bus ministry is out the window, but what I'm saying is I want to see Indigenous pastors raised up in their communities. And we're starting to do it. And the way we're doing it is we're not actually going to probably call them pastors. We might call them just simply oversight or just Bible teachers, or simply I get called out there Papa G, because as soon as we elevate somebody into a pastor's role, then the complications in a community become very dysfunctional, because most communities that we have in remote Australia are being forced to live in communities by about four different languages. So if I raise up one pastor in one part of the community, the other three feel like, how come we are not looked after? And so straight away, we're causing division. So our goal is to raise up four leaders that can run four small churches in those communities. We don't need buildings. We just simply need a tree or a backyard. That's all we need. I'm tired of building buildings. How many times have my church been flooded? More than Rick's, believe it or not. My church in Sydney is underground. Our church is actually built under a heritage site, which is built in the 1800s. And so when Pastor Norm wanted to build a church, he had to go underground. So every time there's a bit of rain, guess what? We have a massive swimming pool. We've managed to fix the problem, but our insurance is quite ridiculous. But anyway, you probably already know that anyway. So we're rebranding. We're actually called at the moment AAOM, Australian Aboriginal Outreach Ministries. Next month, we'll have a new name. I can't share that with you right now. I'm sorry, I'd love to do it with you today, but I'm just about 2 weeks too early. But our vision statement is Indigenous individuals and communities transformed by Jesus Christ. We want communities to be transformed, not just to hear a message, but actually hear the voice of God, know the voice of God, and know the promptings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Our main purpose of what Les Freeman does is to plant churches. That's it. We're here to plant churches across the nation. And how do we do it? I'm glad you asked me that question. By raising disciples. Not leaders, but disciples. Our movement is joined together through autonomy. We're a very unique, we're not actually a denomination. The ACC is actually, we're all individual churches. I've been to four or five in the last three or four months. Very different. In fact, ACC don't really care how you run your church. As long as you're preaching Jesus, that's fine. We're not a denomination. We're not controlled by a central bureaucratic office that tells us what to do. We actually hear from God and we believe we do what is right for the community. So that your church in the Blue Mountains may be run completely different to the way it's run here. Because we want to meet the community's needs. And I believe every church has a variety of aspects that's different to one another. So the only thing that holds us together, to be honest, is our relationship with each other. Not by law, not by regulation, not by you have to, but by our relationship. Our autonomy is our strength, is our relationship. Now, every pastor that is actually credited by the ACC has a code of conduct. So that means I look after about probably three, anyway, it's quite a few, three something hundred pastors. But our role is to make sure our pastors are healthy. That's it. If you're not healthy, we try and get you healthy. If you're behaving badly, we will correct you. That's the only role we have over the ACC Churches of Australia. That's it. To keep you healthy. Isn't that good? So that's why Rick's probably on a break right now, on sabbatical or whatever. That's part of what we do to make sure people stay healthy as pastors. So the same with our Indigenous work. We're not here to tell the pastor in a community, say Jeremadinga, which you've probably never heard of this community. It's very remote. It's along the Gibbs River Road, off a beaten track, over a mountain, across a gully, and there you'll find it. In that community, we started a church. It was actually just ran by YWAM. I was with the YWAM team. We went in there. Had to get permission to go in, of course. Just felt in my spirit that let's put on a sausage sizzle. The town's only about 200 people. I went out with the young youth and catching a heap of goannas with a few dogs, had a bit of fun, came back, and the goannas were too small to eat, so we keep them as pets until they become a delicious size. So instead of cooking goanna, I got sausages. Got to meet the local elder of the town, and he said, found out that the last pastor that came in trying to preach the gospel got taken out, asked to be removed. And I can't say publicly actually how that happened, but he got removed. And so I'm sitting there having a sausage sizzle after I finished cooking for about 200 residents. And his son sat next to me and says, I want to get water baptized. And I looked across the table and I looked straight at this elder thinking, I'm going to get kicked out because he didn't want anyone to preach the gospel. And the elder said, that's fine. And you know why he said that's fine? Because we didn't come preaching the gospel, we come to build relationship. We didn't come to say that God, you have to do this, and here's the rules and regulations to be saved. We simply sat around, visited homes and families, been an ex-Toyota mechanic. I fixed a few cars, that's what you do, on the side. And they saw that we were serving them. And they started a church service. I didn't preach, they preached. There's one person there that actually went to one of our state conferences, gave their life to Jesus, and that person decided to song lead. They sang children's songs. From the rising of the sun. Anyway, all these songs, and then one of the other ladies got up and preached a simple message. How good's that? That's a church. Where was it run? In under the local gum tree. In a small community. What name are we calling it? No name. Just a community church. We're not trying to brand it. We're not trying to say this is ACC, this is Baptist, this is Uniting, this is Church of Christ, this is the Anglican. We're simply saying we want a church that is untouched by people outside. We want the people inside to run it themselves. That's the future of our Indigenous community. Isn't that great? So enough about that. I just wanted to share a little bit about what we're doing, what Les's role is. He is now the trainer. And the most important thing is we do it through discipleship. And so we are now training up people right across Australia that would like to go to these communities. And we don't want to do it on our own. We actually want to do it through teams. I hate being a single pastor on my own, so I always build up teams to do myself out of a job. That's how I ran my business, and that's how I run my church. Right now, my church has got like 9 pastors in it. I don't really need to be there. I'm just a father figure, to be honest. I release people to do the role that God's called them to do, and I believe that's what should happen in our communities. Instead of burning out our pastors and our field workers, we want teams to go in, to go out into these communities and help them do the work they're doing. Isn't that cool? So what's your money going to do? Well, it's going to help me a little bit. Not much. I've gone part-time in my church so I can do this more, but also to actually provide Les with the facilities and the fuel and the cars and the equipment to go out and train all our Indigenous pastors. So two weeks ago, I just bought him a trailer worth $40,000. That trailer is when you want to come and visit us, you will go clamping with us. Okay, so we're ready to do field trips. That trailer will also provide a training centre within it, so it can go into the community with the trailer. It's a pretty expensive trailer because it has to be four-wheel drive, has to be independent suspension to be able to get into these rough communities. Just a few photos behind me would be great. So this is one of our field workers, Peter and Natalie in Newlandboy. So Newlandboy is right in the top end of Arnhem Land, and I was just there over Easter. Let's keep flicking through these. And I got to meet some beautiful people, part of this community. The church ended up being nearly 250 people turned up on a Sunday morning. I preached 5 messages in 5 days. No, sorry, 5 messages in 3 days. Let's just keep flicking through, that's fine. This is an elder of a community that I got to meet, become good buddies. During the service, I'll preach, and then they will then get up, I'll share a word, and then we'll get one of the elders to come up and also share the scriptures in their own language. So it's a very unique church. This is a lady who's been taught how to, Michelle's there, my wife's learning how to make a basket. This is Sunday morning, so we've got a mixed, this is the only church I've seen work in Australia where we have Aboriginals, Indigenous people, also Australians working together. Why? Because the Aboriginals run the church, not the Aussies. So the white people come because it's there, they're in transition in this town. That's me looking like I'm serious. This gentleman here is a blind drummer. He's amazing. He's actually quite famous. Plays in a very well-known band. The guy on the bass, he's also the elder of another community. So you can see that the whole church is involved. That's us trying to catch fish. You'd think we'd catch fish in Arnhem Land, but we come back fishless. Anyway, just a few photos of what the ladies do in the community, which is pretty cool. They love their weaving, and it's the way they get to chat about their different culture, about their children, and just enjoying life. They love dancing, so we did about 5 dances. So when I'm getting up to preach, I think it's probably about an hour to an hour and a half of music and dancing before I get up. So there you go. So that's where I've just been. Also, too, during Easter, we had another convention in Fitzroy Crossing. That church got flooded pretty severely. The whole building went under water. We just finished building it. So I opened it up about 4 months, 5 months ago, and they decided to do a convention. They had something like 23 salvations and about 40 first time filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing, God is starting to move again. Some of these remote communities, I got up pretty early when I was working with YWAM, and when I got up and walked through the community, they said an angel visited them at night, went across the sky. I was so tired, I didn't see a thing. But some of them, I knew it was of God, because some said we were feared, and we got on our knees and cried out to God, and others started rejoicing. There were two responses, fear or love. And it was definitely a move of God. So that day, the high school tennis courts, basketball courts got filled with people wanting to know what happened in their community. So God is starting to move. And it's not through one person. God is starting to move in our communities. Isn't that amazing? So that's what we pay Les to do. We've got about 14 churches or so in our movement. Some are in transition. I think some have been there too long. They need to have a break and find out what God wants to do with their next season of life. Not saying that we're asking people to leave. We're simply saying God is doing things differently than the way we used to do things. And he's starting to speak to us in a fresh and new way. So please pray for me. I've been working on this for quite some time. I'm about to launch it to our national executive and launch it through our churches in Australia. So it's pretty exciting days ahead. So if you've got any questions, please come and see me afterwards. Love to answer them for you. Like I said, I'm still learning. I've been going up since I was a youth pastor, taking teams up, building buildings, fixing roofs, doing kids programs, youth programs, young adult programs, doing all sorts of work up there. But I felt like, to be honest, where's the fruit of that? So we've got to do it differently. So praise God. Right, who's ready for a word? I've got one just for you today. The calling of God upon your life. I want to talk to you about Jeremiah, how God speaks to us. It's the same way that what we're teaching our Indigenous people, it's about discipleship, but it's knowing the heart and the voice of God. So in Jeremiah, if you want to turn there today, you find in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, just in a general context of the word of God, like just a natural thing where we start to read Jeremiah, who is one of the largest books in the Old Testament, or it is the largest book in the Old Testament, how God simply spoke to him. Very simple. The word of the Lord came to me. We can brush over it, but I just want to sit there for a moment, because now we're in the New Testament. Regulation and law is Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, we're all in relationship through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what came upon Jeremiah is now coming upon each and every one of us. And it's a direct line to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when he says, and the word of the Lord came to me, the word of the Lord should be coming to you on a daily basis. And if it's not, I want to help you to understand how he is speaking to you on a daily basis. Because if Jeremiah didn't know the voice or the calling of God, honestly, he wouldn't know what to do to save a nation. He had to know that God was calling him, because the persecution that came, the problems that came, dealing with life issues, we need to hear God's voice. We need to know that God is directing you in your life. Amen? How many of us, my eldest daughter has been married now for 2 years. I've got my second daughter just engaged. No grandchildren yet. Rick seems to have all the grandchildren. I've got none. And I've got a son who's just finished HSC. He's doing his uni degree. And I've taught my children at a young age to hear the voice of God. It's so, so important, because law and regulation will not keep them on tracks. You can tell your children, you can tell people that you love and say, hey, keep the template, do this and do that. I guarantee they'll break it, 100%. But what they won't break is an intimate relationship. Because if that relationship is real, it keeps on going. It lasts into ever, eternity. The problem is, what we've done is we've made an easy way for the church to grow, and that is simply say, do this and do that. And if you do this, well, then God is pleased with you. But if you do that, well, then God is upset with you. So we bring Old Testament into New Testament. Old Testament is regulation. New Testament is relationship. Regulation is great. Keeps our cars safe. If we didn't have law, everyone would be driving like we drive in the Philippines or like in some places in India or Delhi. So it's good that we have law. But relationship with God is not law, it's relationship. And if we have an understanding of that, then we'll start to hear God more clearly. Because some of us believe that when God's speaking to us, it's always when we're breaking a law or when we're out of a regulated relationship. Regulation goes back to law. So regulation, if we've got a relationship with God through regulation, you're only going to hear God when you want to go steal and rob a bank. You shouldn't do that. That's what the voice will say inside. Or you swear at the cat. And 3 days later, you think, oh, I probably shouldn't have swore at the cat. Or most of us think, oh, that's okay. How we have to change the way we think of God. He is madly in love with you. He knows your fears. He knows if you can't sleep at night. He knows if you've been mistreated by people. He knows if you're not being, he knows when you feel like you're insignificant in your family. He knows when you feel like as if the whole world is caving in on him. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He is so madly in love with you, and yet so often we don't hear his voice because we're only hearing it through a law. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. I got up this morning. I said, God, what do you want me to do? Didn't hear anything, so I watched the MotoGP and watched the sprint race this morning at 8:30. I was a little bit late coming down to leave this morning because I was just enjoying the MotoGP. Oh, but Grant, you should have been in serious prayer over the church where he's going to come to minister. No, I've done my homework. I know what I'm doing. I'm not lazy, but I can enjoy the relationship with God on a daily basis, not based on a regulation. See, if it was regulation, I would have been up at 6 o'clock this morning in my old style of life. And I would have been praying and interceding for each and every one of you. Guess what? God says, it's all good. I have prayed for you. God is working overtime for you. I've just got to learn to walk in the stream that God's got for you and understand that he's already doing the work for you. And I just simply want to be in tune with God, what he wants me to say to you today. We can spend hours and hours doing stuff for God and God will say, I didn't ask you to do half of that stuff. I know that many pastors and leaders that burn out in churches, and I'm sure they're going to get to heaven, and God will say, what in the world were you doing all that for? Did I ask you to do it? No, but it was required, or I had an expectation of regulation that I had to do it. When I got brought up in my church, I got told I have to pray every day, read the word every day, and turn up to church every Sunday. Do I still do that? Yes, but I don't do it through law now. I do it out of relationship now. So my prayer life is radically changed. My reading of my word is radically changed. It's not a rote regulation. It's a desire that comes through relationship. Isn't that great? So Jeremiah had to know the voice of God. And what we start off by saying is, very clearly, in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he says these words. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be prophet of the nations. The first thing that Jeremiah hears from God in these scriptures is, guess what, buddy? You're not a mistake. Before you were even born, before you even formed, before you even thought of, I knew you. Wow. Can I honestly say that's the biggest problem we have when we're hearing the voice of God? I'm not holy enough. I don't know him enough. We have all these reasonings. And here is God, the first words he says to Jeremiah. He says to him, before I formed you in the womb, before you were set apart, I knew you and I appointed you. Has God changed? It says in Matthew, 10:30 or 20:30, that every hair on your head is all numbered. Wow. So if God knows every hair on your head, I don't think he's changed from Old Testament to New Testament. I do think, and I do know, Psalm 139 says exactly the same thing. Before you were even born, I knew you. I loved you. I celebrated over you. So can we get this settled right now that God loves you regardless before you're even born, before you even did bad stuff or good stuff? Before you're born on the right tracks or the wrong tracks, before you're born into this culture or that culture, before anything happened in your life, before you're even conceived, God knew about you. That's how big God is. And if we don't settle that, we're going to struggle with this for the rest of our life. We need to surrender and say, God, I am yours because you knew me before I was even born. So we've got to stop comparing ourselves, judging ourselves, requiring ourselves, mastering ourselves into some sort of person that we're not meant to be. Allow God do his stuff in your life by simply accepting the fact is he loves you, formed you, and has a purpose for your life. How good's that? Hip hip. We can finish soon, which I will. A lot of us don't hear the voice of God because we always got these categories in front of us. Can I say to you this? God is speaking right now. What's he saying? A lot of times we don't spend still enough time to actually be honest with God. I get so busy, but this heart of mine knows I should be connecting. And if I really sit still long enough, I'll know that he'll probably tell me to do something I don't want to do, so I try and avoid it. So I'll go out and have a coffee. I'll go out and paint a wall. I'll jump on my motorbike and I'll go for rides. I'll go and prepare another message. I'll go and do something, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now in this room because he's got your attention. What is it that he's saying to you right now? And it's not all bad. It's not all about giving up alcohol, drugs, pornography, stuff like that. A lot of times he's simply wanting you to connect with him, take the time to allow him to love on you. But we've got our hearts so busy and so regulated and so law controlled, we're not letting him in because we think we've got to give up something else for God. That's how I lived anyway. Am I the only one like that? Don't put your hand up, but you know. Seriously, I was too honestly, do I really want to be honest with God? What else does he want? I've moved from a country town to the city for you, Lord. I've left my business for you, Lord. I'm going to the outback for you, Lord. Oh, now else, what else do you want me to give up? I was avoiding God for about probably a month in my office. This is a fresh story. And I knew I was avoiding him. Not badly. He's still speaking to me. It's not like I was off the rails or anything. But I finally sat down and said, okay, God, you've got my attention. What is it? What's going on? He says, I want you to give away your car. I just got my car. It's an Amarok V6, powerful thing. The church bought it for me. I'm loving my Amarok. I rebuilt the whole church, our church during COVID. I thought, I'll just do it. My brother's a builder. I'm good with my hands, so I did most of the interior design myself, done everything with a bit of help from a few of our guys. And the Lord says to me, give it away. This is why I didn't want to stay still. This is why I didn't want to rest my heart and go, God, what is it you want? But you see, there's a blessing in it. So I tell my staff, I said, I believe the Lord is telling me to drive my car up to Fitzroy Crossing and leave it up there so I've got a vehicle when I fly up. But it's my own personal car. And so my pastoral team said, absolutely spot on, Grant. So I get in the car with $500 in my back pocket and I start to drive up the Fitzroy Crossing. That's what you do, right? $500 I got given to me by a pastor, which I helped him out. And he said, Grant, is there anything I can do for you? I said, well, actually there is. I need some fuel money to get to Fitzroy Crossing. He said, I'd love to help. And I'm thinking like $3,000 is going to come in. It was $500. And I'm grateful for the church, by the way. But I was thinking what God was going to do was different to what I was thinking. Anyway, so I thought I've got a backup plan. I'll drive to Queensland first and stay at one of my wife's sister's place in Brisbane. So I get to there. I've only spent $300 so far. The reason I went there is I know I've got a free feed, free accommodation. And if I'm really nice to my brother-in-law, he might even put some fuel in my tank. And I'm about to leave, no offer of fuel. I drive back down to the Gold Coast, meet up with Les and Sally Freeman. Les has a word from God and says to me, can you please see this pastor in this town and this pastor? So now I've got my itinerary. I know now where I'm going. Now, I've been up to Fitzroy many times, but I was just trusting God every step of the way. The whole trip cost me $41 in accommodation. As I'm just about to pull into Fitzroy Crossing, Somebody ring, because I've got no backup plan. I'm leaving my car in Darwin or Broome. I've got no backup plan. I'm just going by the voice of God, trusting him. I'm about probably 100 k's out. I get a phone call. Pastor Grant, I've really been praying for you. I want to buy you a car. And I want to throw in an extra 10 grand to cover some of your expenses. Oh, so how did this happen? Oh, we just wanted to do that for you. And so I left my car there, had enough money to fly home, and I didn't have to ride my motorbike to church every Sunday. How good is God? Often we think the voice of God is to give something up. And if it is, if you trust God, it's going to be good for you anyway. And if he's asking you to give something up, it's for your own good. He's not wanting to hurt you. He's wanting to love on you even more. Please be still and hear that voice. Be obedient to the conviction of God in your heart. Not just for the things that we do wrong, but the things that God wants us to do that's right. Yeah, it might be to ring up that crazy mother-in-law of yours and be nice to her. Or it might be to ring up that broken relationship. I don't know. Or it mightn't be not yet. But I am simply saying this. Jeremiah had to know the voice of God to change a nation. And often his words were rejected. And sometimes we have a crack at this and we get it wrong and then we never try again. Come on, guys, don't give up on the voice of God. He can speak to you through the word of God, through an unction of the Holy Spirit. It might be through somebody else, but he is speaking to you right now. I can honestly say in this room that there is fear in here. Some of you are scared to change your vocation because of money. Some of you worry too much. Why? Because I felt in the second or third song, some of you are not enjoying life at the moment. You're not getting up and pulling back the curtains and saying, hello, happy world. Because you are looking at the world through stained glass windows where it's hurting people. You and I can make a change to this world. Instead of it dictating to us about everything and our inflation and everything else, why can't we dictate to it? We're becoming the tail instead of the head of this thing. Because fear is trying to dominate people in this room. I break that in Jesus' name. I believe we should be healthy in Jesus' name. I believe that we shouldn't be waking up worrying in Jesus' name. And if you are, ask God why you're worrying. Are you carrying stuff that you shouldn't be carrying this morning? Now, I'm starting to prophesy right now. I'm starting to get into the mind of God and move in the Spirit right now. Because I'm going off my notes and starting to pick up what the Holy Spirit's starting to say. Some of you have felt like you've failed in bringing up your children. You felt like you've done the wrong thing and the enemy's having a field day with your head. I say right now in the name of Jesus, be free. You love your children, get over it. The enemy is playing a broken record in your brain to say you're a failure and you're not. These things the Holy Spirit is wanting to fix right now of your life. Amen? Amen. There is work for you. There is a place for you. You are valued in God. Stop looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I don't like what I see, because God certainly doesn't. It's what you are receiving from other people or what you've heard. Some of you get caught up in gossip. Gossip about our world. A gossip about what's going to happen or maybe not happen. It's not going to help you. End time stuff. Seriously. I'll tell you the truth. Jesus comes back and he wins. You want to know any more than that? Go for it. It's not going to add a single moment to your life. All it's going to do is add stress. Some of you right now, and I picked this up in the service, some of you are thinking about leaving the church. Why? Why? Because Rick doesn't talk to you? Because you didn't get prayed enough? Because I asked for too much money? Or because you've gone through three floods? What happens if we go through another flood? I want to break chains this morning about how the enemy gets in your head and how we overcomplicate things with our thinking. God, he loves you, wants the best for you. Why do floods come? I don't know. I don't know why my building and my carpet kept floating in my church. But I do know this. God is still saving people. He's still setting people free. He's still interested in your lives. He's still wanting the best for your lives. He's wanting the best for your children and your grandchildren. God is working right now in our communities. But if we're so busy focusing on how, what, and what's going wrong or right in my life, we stop looking at the big picture. God is moving. Let me pray. I've gone a little bit over time. Thank you. why don't we do something this morning where if you feel God is ministering to you right now, why don't you stand to your feet and I'll just pray for you. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's something I've touched on with those words this morning. Maybe it's something that needs to be broken about your thoughts. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a calling. Maybe God's calling you to be more than just attending or being part of a program, but maybe he's calling you into ministry. Maybe he's calling you to step out of your comfort zone, which I had to, which was really scary, to give away a car. That was really challenging my comfort zone. But if that's you this morning, let's just be honest with God. Maybe it's something that the Holy Spirit is challenging you to do something you've been putting it off for a long time. Lord, I thank you for everyone standing here this morning that's reaching out to you because you prompted them through the word that's been spoken. Lord, they're not standing to me. They're not standing to a church, but they're standing to you. Lord, you are the one who is speaking to them. You are the one who's ministering to them right now. Whether it's a need, whether it's a physical healing, whether it's a financial need, whether it's simply a calling need. I pray, Lord, this morning in this standing and declaring, I pray, cement this in Jesus' name. Lord, if it's fear, I break it in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father God, for your perfect peace to come in. And I pray for a move of your spirit to come in now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, if it's children that's been tormenting us and feeling like we've failed, Lord, I break that in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that we see things the way you see them now. Not through our own eyes and our mistakes, but rather through you. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for moving. I thank you, Lord, we're not wasting any time. We're not worshiping some dead bag of bones in some grave. We are serving a risen Christ who's left us the Holy Spirit to minister and work in each and every person in this room. We're not just another number. We're an individual that God personally cares for us. I thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hip, hip.